Your home for Kings basketball for over 25 seasons.
Sacktown Sports.
We're back. Sacktown Sports. Styles and Watkins taking you up to 2 p.m. with a lot of Beam talk. Beaming or dreaming, 11:45. Get your calls in now. We're talking Kings. We'll explain it more when we get into it. But yes, beaming or dreaming, that's 11:45. And one thing we haven't talked about as we get into the fan favorites debut, and I know this is something that's been on your mind. We actually could probably save it, so now I'm doing what you did.
Yeah,
but I did the 1-for-7 from three ball land for De'Aaron.
Yeah.
Not great, but it turns into one of those things where it's, do you think you can get to, are you working on, because the game was in control, are you working on things? Would he have played it differently if the game was close? I don't know. But 1-for-7 is not going to cut it.
He had a lot of open looks that he just flat out missed. It really was that cut and dry. And the shooting is just the thing that with De'Aaron that you're going to have to watch. Like, that's going to be the next evolution where, if, you know, a lot of people talk about De'Aaron Fox's jump to superstardom, and I think we talked about it a little bit last week, the shooting is so tied in with that leap that it's tough to ignore that number, the 1-for-7, again, on pretty open looks. And that's something that, you know, it's not just, hey, this first game of the season, like, what a talking point. It's something that's going to carry on into the playoffs as well. Like, you saw Golden State was more than willing to let De'Aaron shoot. If I'm not mistaken, De'Aaron led the team in three-point attempts in that seven-game
Warriors. They weren't getting him like Ja, though.
No. Well, it wasn't much different. It wasn't like they were completely sagging off of him when he's bringing the ball down. But they were letting him shoot open threes and living with the results. And some nights he was 4-of-9. Other nights he would be 3-of-9 or 2-of-9 and 1-of-7. I think it's just a concerning thing when you think about how teams are going to guard him in the playoffs, and if, you know, that shot could be something that teams look to exploit. If it is going to be a, hey, we'd much rather have him take that 3-point attempt than have him drive the key or look for that free throw line jumper. Like, it's something that he's got to be able to put on film that he's able to knock that thing down at least a league average level. But obviously 1-of-7 is not how you want to start the year.
Well, you know, signing with the Curry brand,
should help.
The 3-point percentage might just go up based on that.
Just through osmosis, right?
So maybe Steph will give him some pointers. But yeah, quick thing that just popped into my mind, because not great, but on a night like tonight, it doesn't matter. Mm-hmm. Does it matter tomorrow? Or on a night like last night, it doesn't matter. Does it matter on a night like tomorrow? All right, 916-339-1140 is the call line and the text line. Let's get out to Steven, who wants to talk Harrison Barnes. What's up, Steven? You're on Styles and Watkins.
What's good, boys?
What up?
Happy birthday, Chris.
Thank you.
I just wanted to say, big happy birthday to you.
Appreciate
you come
it.
A long way since you started working here, man. So, you know, I can't call and not bust your behind.
Yeah.
If I don't bring up the Australia guy, we're still waiting on him, man.
One day.
You're gonna have, because it's your birthday, you're gonna have to explain it to your new cohort.
Yeah, I got
you. What an amazing game last night, man! That was just such an energetic game. I enjoyed it. I don't know about you guys. I know you guys have to do radio and nitpick and all that fun stuff, but I think that was probably one of the, as far as like an opening game, season opener, I don't think I could have asked for anything better. It was just, the energy was there. The vibes were there. I mean, it looked and it felt good. It felt completely different than preseason. So that's pretty much it, man. I just wanted to bust the chops a little bit. Wish you a happy birthday, Chris. Styles, welcome to the show, my guy. You're going to have to explain the Australian fridge to your new cohort, my guy.
Thank you, Steven. First caller. First official caller.
First official caller goes to Steven. Tell him what he's won.
Yeah.
The opportunity to call back every single day
and forever have that first caller.
That's right.
Yeah, I'll explain the Australian smart fridge thing to you at the back end.
Okay,
we'll cover the business end first. I really think I agree with Steven. Like, I said it up top, but like, if you're Mike Brown, there's so many things that you just checked off your list that was like, oh, that was good to see. Oh, we got that in night one. Okay, we got to see that in night one as well. You know, yeah, whether it be Sasha, who I think we're going to talk about here, or just in general, just the vibe around the team. It was It was definitely, I would consider using the term showcase game. Like, mm-hmm. I think that's a really good example of something that the Kings should be able to replicate throughout this year, whether it be putting up 130 on a team. I think they're more than capable of doing that to a lot of bad competition, especially if they're going to try and score with this team. I think the Sasha was great to see. I think Harrison in its own way was great to see. And there was a really not much that you can say, wow, that's really concerning. I think Davion's performance is concerning. Mm-hmm. I think Kevin Huerter's performance is concerning just because of the preseason that he had and all the talk leading into the season about his starting spot. But besides that, I really think you have to be majorly positive about the performance that they put together.
No, you do. And yes, Steven, we're going to nitpick and we're going to do things like that because that's what we have to do. But all in all, there's not a ton to complain about. Who we wanted to get to is Sasha Vezenkov.
Yeah.
And he came out, makes his first three. I'm thinking, okay, cool. I wouldn't necessarily say it was rough after that, mm-hmm. but it wasn't a splash entrance to the league. And, you know, I think I'm okay with what I saw. 8 points, 2 rebounds, 1 steal, 3 for 5, 2 for 4 from 3-point land. And like
13 minutes, right?
13 like minutes. That. And like you said, defensively did not look lost, right? Which is huge because we didn't know what that would look like. Again, it's the Kings, right? Or sorry, it's the Jazz, but didn't look lost. So you like what you see there. I think I saw enough to believe that there was something to build on.
Yeah, I think that's a good way of putting it because it's only the first game of the season. It's Sasha's first official NBA game. I know he's played in really big stages before in front of bigger crowds, in front of, you know, better environments, but there's not going to be any feeling that's going to replicate being on the biggest stage and entering the floor for the first time. And I think Sasha handled it well. I think he's now got all of those, you know, all those reps out of the way. He played plenty in preseason. Again, gets his first NBA action out of the way. Mm-hmm. It should just be all playing basketball from here. And I know that's a cliche, but I just think that Sasha's game is so plug and play with this offense. It's why everyone was so excited to see him enter because he just fits so seamlessly. Like him running around in the corners and you know, spraying the ball all around the place and cutting the way he does. I just think that it's going to only get better and better from here. And so the fact that he was able in game one to put 8 points on the board and, you know, didn't airball three threes because he was too jacked up or juiced or anything, I think it was a really good starting point. And, you know, it was a question of whether Sasha was even going to be in the rotation to start the season. So I think the fact that, again, you get all of this stuff out of the way, now it's just about building on this. And Sasha talked about that all offseason long, about every day it's just about being better than the day previous. And you can't ever lose, you know, you can't lose the forest for the trees. You can't try and look at this big, wide-scope view of the season without just day-to-day taking every opportunity as it is. And I think he's done a great job of it, clearly, because where he was preseason game one, more specifically on the defensive end, to where he already is a month and a half later, I think Mike Brown's loving it. And it's a great sign to see that you might not have to slowly bring him along, not baby, you know, spoon feed him minutes until he just is undeniable. I think he's shown that, and it's only one game, and, you know, we'll see how he does the rest of this week, but I think we saw that he's at least, Mike Brown can be comfortable putting him out there, at least for now.
Yeah, and again, it's just a good starting point. And we don't know if Sasha will end up being this secret weapon
this prophetic thing.
Yeah,
that's
he's going to drop
no
20 a game
or
something like that. We don't know that, but seeing what we saw last night, at least we know at very worst, he should be serviceable. And having a serviceable NBA player on a team with aspirations to do some good things and going back to the having a deep bench and having depth and all of that, that's good. Mm-hmm. We know that the basement doesn't seem to be as low as maybe we feared.
It's a great way of putting it.
Know if the ceiling is going to be what we dreamed of, right? Or maybe what we were hoping for. It all just remains to be seen. It's only been one game. But I think if you're Mike Brown, you're thinking, okay, I can put this guy out here and look, we're not the best team defensively anyway.
Right.
He's not worse than what we're already putting out there.
Exactly.
You know, so I think that's I think that's something that Mike Brown, if you were to make a list of things that he had an eye on, I don't know that De'Aaron's shot would be in there because I don't think so. It's either going to show up or it's not.
Yeah.
I don't think anything with Sabonis is going to be there either. I think it would be Davion, who we're going to get to later in the show, Herter, who we're going to get to later in the show, maybe Harrison Barnes, and Harrison Barnes would be a checkmark.
Yep.
I would consider Vezenkov and what he did last night to be a checkmark,
yep,
at the very least. It's not a circle star, get a sticker, right?
Right? Yeah,
something
you're
like
not
that.
Putting exclamation points at
right,
the end.
Right,
or nothing,
but also not saying, this might be a swing and miss.
That.
Yeah.
And let's not forget that Trey Lyles didn't play last night, and mm-hmm, there's a good chance that Trey Lyles gets a chunk of the minutes, if not all the minutes, that Sasha got yesterday. Mm-hmm. And the fact that, at least for this very moment in time, game one, you're, let's just say worst case scenario, Sasha, your quote-unquote third string guy at that spot, is able to still produce. It, again, just speaks to the level of depth of this team and all the different routes that they can go in terms of throwing different lineups out there. If Sasha's another guy that from day one you can feel confident or at least trust that he's going to go out there and not kill you, it's just another great depth piece for Mike Brown to play with.
Yeah, agreed. All right, got to get to a break. When we get back, this is our debut today, so we're going to go around the NBA, talk about some of the other games that happened, what stuck out to us, what moved us, what didn't, all that and more when we get back. Stiles and Watkins, Sacktown Sports.
Your flagship station for the Beam Team, Sacktown Sports.
We are back, Sacktown Sports, Stiles and Watkins. First show together, first official show on Chris's birthday. So we're giving a shout out to Chris. Chris, so do you have a favorite restaurant? Or are you? I know you said you're not a huge foodie.
Yeah.
When I am, so on the YouTube chat, call in, text in, 916-339-1140. I'm new to Sacramento. What restaurants are good? Help me out. But it's not about me right now. It's about Chris.
Okay.
It's about Chris.
I
so,
like it that way.
Restaurant, like, is there a, do you have a favorite meal that you would eat, or?
You're tripping if you think I have any direct answer to any of that. there's not really any place in particular where we're like, oh my gosh, like that's our fancy place. You know, we go to Brazilian Steakhouse or whatever, Ruth Chris every time.
Morton's.
Morton's is absolutely, I'm super simple, so I'll do like a pizza place, like a, more of an upscale pizza place. We're not going to go to Round Table or something.
Instead Shout out Round Table.
But, there's a place downtown, or there's a couple different locations. Chicago Fire got good deep dish pizza.
Okay.
A little bit more of like a, sit down pizza place instead of your traditional thing. So that's usually a go-to for me. It just feels simple and easy. I shouldn't say I'm not a foodie. I just don't, I guess I just don't like spending that much money on really expensive food. There's a time and place, of course, and I love expensive food, but more times than not, I'm always.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
To opt for like a comfort, maybe like a higher level.
Well,
comfort
but
food,
being a foodie is not necessarily eating at Michelin star restaurants.
But
Michelin star, restaurants. Yeah. You could find, hey, this place got good taco. This taco truck. It's just to me, a foodie is just about I put forth effort to find cool places.
Yeah, I would not say I do that. No, definitely not. I find things I like and I usually stick to it. That's generally how.
All right, well,
I
we'll check in tomorrow to see what you ended
we'll
up
see
doing.
What I do.
We're learning stuff about both of you right now.
That's right. And by the way, Chris decided to spend his birthday playing softball. And I'm not judging you. But I'm not judging you.
I just want to say that I have been screaming at my team for like 2 weeks now that I'm not showing up today. And they keep thinking that I'm joking. And I'm kind of not. But I mean, I'm going to show, like, if I don't show up, then we have to forfeit. So it's one of those where I really am like, am I going to make it about
myself?
But
you can play with under nine, right?
Yeah, but the problem is we're playing like the best team and we're probably already going to get killed. And I'm like, if I don't play and we're down, like if we're down a person and we're playing the best team.
Unless you're Manny Ramirez, I don't know if you're playing the best team if it's going to make a difference.
I promise you it's not going to make a difference. This is what I've been saying, which is why I've been trying to get my entire team to forfeit. But unfortunately, it does seem
so
like
your solution is to get the whole team to forfeit.
Yeah, so it's not just on me. I'm like, guys, we have an early game. Like, we'll just go and get drinks and you know, have a good time anyway.
Yeah, but, you know, if I didn't
so it's not my choice.
If I wasn't recovering from my Achilles,
Don't worry. You said you played baseball. I was, like, taking a note.
I would do it for you, situation. And by the way, I got a shout-out because, again, I'm moving, so I have to switch my physical therapist, and I told them that I would shout them out because they're listening right now in the Bay Area, Golden State Orthopedics. Thank you, Jeff, for the work that you've done.
Bam.
I'm in about the 70th, 80th percentile.
Getting our guy right.
For my recovery.
Come on.
I'm playing golf.
I'm trying to be like Aaron Rodgers
doing my short steps. I'm almost jogging. Actually, when I got back from the airport, Bart goes to the San Francisco airport.
Right.
So because I got delayed, it was rush hour, so I had to take Bart when originally I was just going to call an Uber, just take me back to the island. Couldn't do it. Right. So I had to get on BART. So I'm going down and my buddy who tore his Achilles, he's also joked with me about this because he said, yeah, it gets to a point where, because you know, I watch a lot of shows where like the world is ending or if somebody decides they're going to jump you, they don't know your Achilles is messed up and you're recovering.
You're going
to
get got.
You're going to have to make a decision. Yeah. Are you going to test this thing out or are you just going to let it go? So I'm going down the escalator and I see the doors open for BART and it's about to leave. So it was decision time for me. I get down to the escalator and I like half jogged for the first time, about 3-4 steps.
Yeah.
And I didn't realize my body, you know what I mean? I'm like, I just did that.
Yeah.
So I got on the train. Of course, they closed. And I got on just right out of a movie. And then I was talking to my physical therapist about it. And he said, here's the thing. Your body actually knows where you're at. So for you to have that inclination to run, that's your body. He's like, I wouldn't do it every day. But that's your body telling you that you could do it. Because a couple weeks ago, you probably wouldn't have did it because you know I can't do it.
Your body holds itself
back.
So
I'm on my way. I'm on my way. I know you golfed
last
week.
So this Aaron Rodgers, what I'm hearing is this Aaron Rodgers thing is semi-legit. I mean, he's out there throwing.
He did that bridge procedure. Yeah. I did not do that. I just did the regular Joe procedure. So I don't know what Aaron Rodgers is on. Okay, the Dolphin sound. There's a lot going on with Aaron Rodgers that, you know,
you're not prescribing to it.
I don't know, man. I don't know. And I don't, you know, he's going to be fighting other people. You don't want to get this surgery. Do it this way. So Aaron can do his thing. Yeah. I'm going to stick to
your road to recovery.
My road to recovery. Yeah. I'm just trying to play catch with my kiddos. I'm not trying to, you know, win a Super Bowl.
Season.
No, I'm not trying to do all that. All right. So we talked about it before. We're going to go NBA opening night, and obviously that was a couple days ago and also last night. The only two teams that have not played yet are Bucks Sixers, and they play tonight. That's Dame Time and Freak Time?
They
want to
call it Freak Time, yep. It's not great.
I like Pool Boy and Jacuzzi better.
I do too, honestly. I think Freak Time it's okay. Like, I get it, but it's just, I don't know. It doesn't really, it doesn't really hit yet. Maybe you got to see them together to where it's like, okay, this really is Freak Time.
No,
it doesn't.
I don't think
I understand
so.
They're combining the nicknames.
I'm just weirdly not. And I love Dame. He's a Bay Boy. Shout out Oakland. But I'm just not really high on the Bucks for some odd reason.
I don't think they're going to be like world beaters like everyone else thinks. I mean, they're going to be one of the best two teams in the Eastern Conference, which is going to lend itself to near 55 to 60 wins. But I don't think that this is going to be like they're standing up on Mount Olympus and looking down on everyone else, like trying to hit up at them. I feel like they're just a really good team that has its own separate set of flaws, but you know, they definitely have a really tough 1-2 punch that a lot of teams just can't match up with.
No, but I mean, what you saw from the Celtics last night and how they just basically turned it on makes you think, and Porzingis showing up too.
My goodness.
I got the Celtics over the Bucks right now. And we're going to sit here and do this, and somehow that Miami Heat Jimmy Butler's ridiculous
zombie walk,
they're going to be back in the finals somehow, because that's just how it's gone. But right now, I'm taking the Celtics over the Bucks. I don't even know how close it is.
Yeah, I think that's what's going to be so interesting when those two teams actually match up, because it's going to be a real battle of styles there. No pun intended.
No pun intended.
I think it's going to be really interesting to see how those two teams do when they're matched up against each other. Because, again, I think individually those two teams they're going to have their way with most of the competition that they face. But when they go against each other, that's when it's going to be, okay, Porzingis, you looked great last night against the Knicks, but how are you when you're able, like when you're matched up with Giannis and they really need you to go head to head with Giannis and you know, Drew Holiday, how is Drew Holiday going to do going against his former team? How well will he defend Damian Lillard? It's going to be a really intriguing matchup that I cannot wait to see. I mean, this basketball season is definitely shaping up to, just from an entertainment side, I don't know about, you know, top-end talent or super teams or anything like that, but just from a night-to-night competition, there's going to be at least two games, it feels like, every night where you're just getting two teams that are just going to go at it, and they're going to be one of the two best teams in the league.
Yeah, speaking of super teams, the Suns beat the Warriors a couple nights ago, 108 to 104. Booker was cooking, 32 points, and he was questionable. I think he's also questionable tonight when they play the Lakers. Beal. Steph, 27, CP3, 14. Obviously, no Draymond for the Warriors, but this is what's going to happen with the Warriors, man. I mean, guys are going to miss games, right? So I don't know what to make of the Warriors. We got some Jay Williams sound we're going to play a little bit later, who has a lot to say about the Warriors and the Kings. And the Kings. All right, 119 Nuggets, 107 Lakers, talking about another quote-unquote super team with the Lakers. And surprise, surprise, LeBron is already mad about something. Let's hear from LeBron and what he's complaining about.
I do know I can play point guard too, right? Okay, we got a lot of length. I can play the point with Rui in there or Austin and TP at the 2 and 3. I'm just out there just floating around.
I'm out there just floating around.
Just like, hey, coach, I don't know if you see. I'm 2-3. Yeah. 2-3 James.
That's how I feel in life sometimes. I'm out there just floating around.
Yep.
Well, and so that was LeBron talking to
Coach Ham. Yeah.
Coach Ham about the current setup that they had, and it sounded like he wanted Rui in there.
Yep.
He wanted his guys in there, and he wanted to play point. Right? Like, so
get D'Lo out of here.
Get D'Lo up out of here. The preseason god, preseason warrior, if you will, no pun intended there, but D'Lo, get him out of here.
Yep.
We were talking to Kyle in the pre-show. Laker fans already found their scapegoat for the year. Get him out of here.
They've already traded him to Orlando for like Markel Fultz and a draft pick.
Oh, just another guy that they're going to build up just to tear down. Laker fans, you just don't stop. Just give it a rest, please. They never do. So LeBron had that to say. Then he's also on the podium, and he's reading off his stats to someone, saying, I think I played a pretty good game. I mean, I you got to think Adam Silver, he's just so happy with what's going on. Because the stuff just writes themselves.
LeBron is the son.
LeBron is just going to make sure there is drama at every turn. You got the Bulls, who lost one game.
My goodness.
And are already having a players-only meeting. What are y'all meeting about? You're not good.
When Chris told me that, I thought that was a fake account. I'm like, that can't be real.
No. What are we meeting about? Guys, we're not mediocre enough. I mean, DeRozan, he was supposed to get moved on to about, he's been traded to, there's got to be a list of the top 10 players that have been hypothetically traded throughout their careers. DeRozan is top five.
DeRozan's top five. Jalen Brown has snuck into the conversation before getting signed.
Nets' Brooke Lopez is the king of this game.
Yeah,
Brooke Lopez.
Jay Crowder always.
Jay Crowder.
Yusuf Nurkic for a bunch of years. He finally got traded.
CJ McCollum for a really long time.
You know.
Terrence Ross.
Yeah.
Terrence Ross. So there's a list, and I know that DeRozan on top of it. I mean, even Zach LaVine. Right? Mm-hmm. Because, and here's a guy, I have no clue what to do with you, Zach LaVine.
Yeah.
No clue.
Yeah.
I don't know what you are. All I know is that you're a really good dunker.
He likes to score a lot, and he's got crazy athleticism, and he gets paid a ton. That's about all that I can tell you about Zach LaVine in terms of him as a basketball player. Because we've not seen Zach LaVine in a winning basketball situation, especially not with him being the head of the snake of that operation. Mm-hmm. Like, I can't imagine what they're meeting about, but it's never a great sign when game one out of 82, the players feel the need to talk it out extensively without the coach.
No, and maybe, hopefully, I guess maybe DeRozan's daughter wasn't there to yell at the free throw line and mess some people up. So I don't know what's going there. Got to get to a break. When we get back, we're going to continue to go around the NBA and all these opening games. Your thoughts, your calls, all that and more. Styles and Watkins, Sacktown Sports.
Sacktown Sports.
Headlines.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Good morning, Sacramento. My name is Kyle Ledbetter. These are your Sacktown Sports headlines. The Sacramento Kings are 1-0. 130-114 was the final score against Utah last night. Harrison Barnes, he had 27 first-half points. The Kings set a franchise opening night record with 13 first-half three-pointers. Eight different Kings made a three-point shot. Frankie Cardicelli has a super, super in-depth breakdown of game number one that you can read at SacktownSports.com. Brock Purdy is unlikely to play for the 49ers while he goes through the NFL's concussion protocol this week. Debo Samuel has already been ruled out for the Niners game on Sunday. And it's homecoming night for Sacramento State football this Saturday versus the Idaho State Bengals. Kickoff is at 6 o'clock p.m. Come early and enjoy the festivities. Get your tickets at HornetSports.com. Those are your headlines. Let's return to more of Styles and Watkins here on Sacktown Sports.
Your home for Kings basketball for over 25 seasons.
Sacktown Sports.
We are back, Sacktown Sports. One more segment until the debut. Just a bunch of debuts today. Chris is debuting a new age because it's his birthday. Debut of Styles and Watkins. Okay, 10 a.m., 2 p.m. every single day. It's got to be nice. It's got to be nice if you are a Sacktown Sports fan, if you have been listening. You know, you got a new show. We're really excited what we have going for all the listeners. We're giving this our all. I know a lot of you have been rocking with Chris Watkins, Chris and Co. A lot of different guys have kind of come through, and Chris has done a great job. He's like a chameleon. Mm. You know, Chris can change his colors and change his spots, everything he needs to do. But we found a home. We found a show. We're very excited about it. So thank you for listening. Thank you for being a part of the show. And like I said, debut, we have one more segment, and then we're coming back 11:45. Beaming or dreaming? Mm. Line up the calls. Beaming or dreaming? Are you feeling what you're seeing, or are you dreaming about it? That's what we need to know. And before the break, we were talking about very tradable players who are always in trade. The top, you know, you ever fire up the trade machine?
All the time.
All the time.
All the time.
And we have a good one here from the YouTube chat, Pascal Siakam. That is a great one. I'm trying to see. I see. We responded, Pike 916, Pascal. But that's a great one. He has been hypothetically traded 8,000 times. But
him and OG.
Well, it is an OG. And it's weird because Toronto in general, just, you know, they're sticking to it. We're not going to move him. We're not moving him. But also, what's your plan? It's almost like they just didn't want to change it out of spite for the fact that people, because that's basically saying you need to start over. Mm-hmm. And they're just refusing to start over.
Yeah. I mean, they really should have blown this thing up when Kawhi Leonard left. I mean, and they kind of slowly have been doing it. You know, they lose Kyle Lowry, and then, you know, this past offseason, they lose Fred VanVleet. They lose Nick Nurse as well. And, you know, it feels like they're kind of, I should say it feels like they're starting to lean more towards youth, but even then, Masai doesn't seem to be budging at all on these Pascal or the OG trades. And I think OG is young enough to where you could convince yourself he's young enough to really stick with this core. But, you know, Pascal Siakam, there's really no reason why he should be on this team. Like, he's a guy who's been all third team All-NBA twice, I think two seasons in a row now. He's got value. He can definitely contribute to a winning situation. Get him out of there. Get as many assets as you could possibly get and just lean into the rebuild. Like, yeah, you've got some good young pieces. You got Scottie Barnes. You know, you draft Grady Dick last year, and Messiah's just done a great job of finding talent out of nowhere anyway. I think you got to move on from them, get as many assets as you can, and get that rebuild underway. Because in the right. East, if you're going to have a guy like Pascal Siakam mm-hmm. and have OG Anunoby and have Scottie Barnes, you're going to mess around and win 40 games and never really be in that true
right.
lottery contention, you know?
Yeah, and especially for a city like Toronto, I could see if you're New York and one of these big cities where there's so much pressure and you just don't have time, or people are going to be on your head if you don't, yeah. you know, if you're not competing for a championship. But in this situation, and this is no disrespect to Toronto, I think you'd be fine.
Yes.
I think
nobody
would be fine.
Would be worried. You got a ring. No. Like, they're living high.
I mean, honest, yeah, and the Vikings just beat the Niners, but it is kind of similar. It's just those teams that are stuck, right?
Yes,
I mean,
very much so.
They're just stuck a little bit.
So you know, Toronto is basketball Minnesota Vikings. That's what I'm
close,
hearing.
Close. I think the Vikings are a little bit better than Toronto. Toronto's almost the Raiders. They're better than the Vikings. They're better. No.
Whoa.
No,
watch
they're
your,
not.
Watch
better.
Your words here.
No, the Vikings are better than the Raptors.
There we
they're
go.
Somewhere between the Vikings and the Raiders.
Okay, so they're basketball Indianapolis Colts.
Sure.
Maybe. Maybe.
I think we're splitting hairs.
916-339-1140. Let's go to the call lines. David wants to talk Kings. What's up, David? You're on Styles and Watkins, Sacktown Sports.
Hey, thanks a lot, guys.
Absolutely.
So there's a lot to talk about, obviously, but the thing that stuck out to me is the biggest difference maker, I think, at this point is going to be Duarte. Mm. The way he plays and what he adds off the bench, I think if we had him in the series against the Warriors last year, we would have definitely taken it.
Mm. I like that.
No, yeah. I like that. Thanks for the call, David. And Duarte yesterday.
He was great yesterday.
Yeah. He was literally 9 points, right? Three fouls, but again, defensively, you know what I mean? He's getting in there.
Yeah.
3 for 4 from three ball land.
Yeah, I mean, those last two numbers are the biggest ones for Duarte. The 3 of 4 from three, obviously, like, his offense is especially his shooting ability, is going to be something that this team will gladly take. Mm-hmm. I stupidly wondered in the offseason, like, can you have too much shooting possibly? Is that a thing? What does that mean if you have too much shooting? And I think we've seen that it just means that you just have more and more options of guys who can hit threes, because Duarte hit one yesterday, hand in his face. He was sitting in the corner and just splashed it. Like, he mm-hmm. took a little jab step,
yeah.
let the defender get in his
I
face.
I know exactly which one you're talking about.
It didn't
about.
Matter. He absolutely laced it. He hit one from the top of the key. It was great to see. It's another guy that, when you think about the Kings shooters just flying around the perimeter, it's another guy that can do that, but at the same time bring that defensive intensity that you might not get from a guy like Malik Monk or mm-hmm. Kevin Huerter to you know, point out who he's really been linked with the most. Like, he could really contend mm-hmm. for that starting spot, because he does bring a defensive edge that those other guys don't bring. And if you're not losing a lot in the shooting department, or if you can maybe even argue you might, with how Kevin's shooting right now, you might be gaining a little bit in the mm-hmm. shooting department. There's not really a reason not to play him if he's going to look as calm and comfortable as what he did yesterday. And we didn't even see the two-man game with Sabonis that we heard so much about when we first acquired him. So I completely agree with, was that Steven?
David.
I'm sorry, Steven was the first call. David, I think Duarte was excellent yesterday, and I think that could be a huge addition to this team if he can show like what he showed yesterday.
916-339-1140. Let's go to Mitch from New Jersey. What's up, Mitch? You're on Styles and Watkins, Sacktown Sports.
Chris, congratulations on the show. Good luck.
Thank you.
Appreciate it, Mitch.
Glad you don't have weekends. I'll be being selfish that way. best, I think it's the deepest Kings team ever. I was surprised at Harrison Barnes, but he almost matched the opening day points. But it's a two-way sword. He can look good for, you know, for Trey. We don't have to do that much. It's a very competitive Western. So you improve the team, I guess you go ahead. I wish they had went out for that Beal trade. I wish that was possible, and I'm going to miss Jimmy Mathieu. But it's just, you know, because he's a USC guy. I just think the team is just really good. It's going to be a tough year, but we'll make the playoffs. Stay away from play-in. and happy last night.
Great. Thanks for the call, Mitch. Yeah. I mean, look, we talk about Bradley Beal actually is another name, trade generator. Yes.
Big time. Was thrown in just about every trade you could, but the problem was his money was just too much. And I think that's where the Kings conversation kind of stopped as well. They were like, we'd love to acquire the talent, especially for what I believe he was traded for was pennies on the dollar, but I think he makes like 35 to 40 plus million dollars a year, and it's like you can't really justify bringing that big of a salary in.
No, no. And I don't know that you need to. That's not really what.
That's not a weak point.
That's not a weak point because he's not doing anything defensively either. Mm-hmm. So I don't. It would have been nice, but I don't think that. To be completely honest with you, if Keegan takes a step, I don't know how much of a gap. And maybe I'm being disrespectful to Bradley Beal, but Bradley Beal's older. He ain't even playing yet. The guy has been shady injured.
Yes.
Lately,
He's not.
You know. So I think, and I don't mind that if we were talking about a 3-and-D wing guy, that might be different. But Bradley Beal, I think the Kings were kind of cool off that. And, yeah, look, as we go around the NBA and we look at the Lakers, right, when you talk about too much shooting, I think it's a good point. I don't think the Kings suffer from it because the Kings have an identity. Mm-hmm. We sat here, not we, but everybody sat here, oh, the Lakers. The Lakers, to me, they have a bunch of dudes, but what's their identity? It's going to take them half the season to figure out who's going to play with who. Mm-hmm. And then it's going to take them more games to figure out what their identity is. LeBron wants to be point guard. Yeah. Darvin Ham's got him at the four.
Great point.
You got guys
AD doesn't want to play center, but he has to play center.
You have guys that really are trying to cook. Austin Reeves cooked more when D'Lo wasn't on the team. Yep. And then you bring D'Lo back, and now D'Lo's scapegoat.
Can't
you got some guys that can defend. Rui Hachimura, he wants an elevated role. He's pulling all the time. Yep. So the Kings don't have that. The Kings know. It's better to know what your issues are.
Yep.
That doesn't mean, you know, I had an old boss, right, and he would just always cut people off. Mm-hmm. Like, he's one of those guys that would try to guess what you were going to say.
Yeah.
And be completely wrong because you can't read my mind and we just started the conversation. But he knew it. And he would say, I'm sorry, I'm working on it, trying to not cut people off. He never got better, but he at least knew what
his
the
faults,
issue was.
Right.
He knew what his faults were. So the Kings, the same thing. We got to get better defensively. Mm-hmm. That's really it, right? And if we the first step is
acknowledgement.
Is acknowledgement. So they've acknowledged it. So can you just get a little bit better? And to be honest, my boss, he did get a little bit better.
Right.
He still would cut me off, and not just me, cut everybody off.
Yeah.
But as he, I never called him out. I think some other people did. But as he, you know, had to work with people that came in new to the company, he had to get a little bit better, and he just got the middle of the road cut off, right? He wouldn't cut you off every single time. So if the Kings can do that, I think that would really help. All right, got to get to a break. We're still going around the NBA, but it is time. Line them up, 916-339-1140. Let me just explain it real quick. Beaming or dreaming? It's very simple. Beaming means you think the Kings got a shot at the whole thing based on what you saw from a game. We're going to do this every time the Kings have a big game. Dreaming is if the Kings getting a title is in your dreams. Are you beaming or dreaming? I ask Chris, I ask Kyle, and I ask you when we return. Styles and Watkins, Sacktown Sports.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Live and local, 6 a.m. to 6 p.m., Monday through Friday. Sacktown Sports.
We are back. Sacktown Sports. Any way you want it, that's how you're going to get it. And that's a little bit of Harrison Barnes right there. And also Malik Monk with that dunk on Chris Dunn. Sorry, Chris Dunn, but this is the most you've been talked about in a while, so you should love it.
In a very long time.
You should love it. All right, the time has come. First show.
Yep.
First segment. Beaming or dreaming?
Okay.
And I see you already on the YouTube chat. Beaming, that's his name or her name. Clearly Beaming. So thank you for that, Beaming, on the YouTube chat. You got the text line as well. They're beaming. Everybody's beaming now. So beaming means you think that based on what you saw, the Kings could win the big one.
Okay.
Okay. Bring a title.
Yep.
I'm talking about confetti, purple, black, white. great
parade,
confetti,
everything
in Sacramento.
Oh boy!
All right, or are you just dreaming? Meaning, what you saw was nice, but I'm still dreaming of that title. So I ask my co-host, the birthday boy, the birthday bizzle, are you beaming or are you dreaming?
A lot of people out there are expecting me to be dreaming, you know?
Oh.
It's
a wet blanket each for God.
Exactly. Exactly. That's what you expect from me. I think I'm beaming a little bit.
Wow.
I think after night one, after hearing, you know, Michael Wilbon a couple weeks ago, got some other people talking up the Kings a little. I watched opening night. You watch the Lakers, just like you said last segment, don't really have an identity, don't quite know where they're at. You see the Warriors struggling. Steph Curry gets into foul trouble. Phoenix kind of lets the Warriors in that game. They don't have Bradley Beal or Devin Booker tonight, already having some injury concerns. I'm just saying there's a chance, man. Like, with the depth of this team, I'm not saying I would pick them as favorites or anything like that. I don't know if I even really believe that there's a chance that they can win or reach a title this year, but I think I feel like I'm more positive than ever that that's even a possibility, if that makes sense. Like, this was, it wasn't even in the realm of possibility for me 2 weeks ago. And now, after watching the ball being rolled out there and seeing how everybody looks and looking at the pieces and how they come together, they got a chance. They absolutely have a chance. Now, what's when push comes to shove and the Kings have to go against Jokic and Denver, do they have an answer for that? I don't know. I don't think
Nobody
so.
Does,
I don't think so, but and you know, they got to go through those things first, and you know, you got to kind of lose before you win. That's kind of how the league works, but I feel like this team is there's definitely a universe where maybe some things go wrong for a team like Denver. Maybe some injuries happen to some of these older teams to where the doors open wide open for or the doors open up wide for the Kings to just kind of walk through and really have a chance to make some noise in the Western Conference Finals. So I don't know if they're going to be a title, you know, a serious title contender, but man, I could really see a really perfect season this year where they make the Western Conference Finals.
Wow. Chris Watkins.
Yeah.
Feeling is birthday beaming.
Yep. Yep.
Steaming Willie beaming.
It feels good.
That's Chris Watkins. All right, Kyle. Are you beaming or dreaming?
So beaming in this sense is that the Kings will improve from last year. They might make a Western Conference Finals. You said NBA Finals.
Yeah, like, it's got to be high.
I had to push back on
it's
the gotta, NBA.
It's got well, it's got to be because I feel like dreaming, you can't say beaming and say they're a second round out, right?
But true. Is second round out dreaming then?
No, I think that that's probably what people like. I think 8 out of 10 people or 7 out of 10 people would say they are expecting or want a second round appearance. So I would say further than second round appearance.
Further than second round.
So conference finals
would be
or finals appearance.
Yes.
Okay, so in that sense, we've got the...
Wow, that's disrespectful.
Slumber.
We're putting it to sleep, you guys. I'm sorry. I'm not trying to be the downer or the wet blanket on the show right now. Okay. I said at the start of the year, 4-6 in seed in the West is where I think they are, and one game's not going to move me off that position.
Okay.
So.
Hey.
Game one is not the time for rationality, Kyle.
I appreciate that.
I'm aware.
That. Now, before I give my answer, we're going to flip this a little bit so Kyle can turn off the lullaby because we have someone nationally, all the disrespect that the Kings get, we have someone nationally that is definitely beaming. Let's hear from Jay Williams on First Take and how he
Denver
is beaming.
Denver is the favorite. We all know that.
Yes.
Yo, Sacramento got the best odds, in my opinion, to contend for a championship more than any other team in the Western Conference other than Denver.
You can what? Other than Denver?
Other than Denver.
That's it?
That's
so Sacramento.
I
Sacramento over both L.A. squads?
Yes.
And Phoenix?
Yes.
Drug test. Drug test.
Don't be disrespectful.
Did he say drug test at
That's
the end?
That's always does.
Which I love because the other day when Jalen McDaniels signed his contract with the Timberwolves, the only thing I thought in my head, like the I don't know why I've never said this out loud or anything, but I saw, I think it was 5 years, $135 million, and reefer. That's the only word that came across my head. It's just reefer because those guys – I don't know what they're on, but yeah. they must be on something crazy for that contract. But yeah, I know. I love to hear it. I love to hear King's getting some national love. I love the fact that Jay Williams isn't afraid to go out there and put his neck out there, because definitely it's not going to be a popular position to say that the Kings are going to have that success. You're definitely, if things don't go right, you're going to have that thrown in your face all year. So shout out Jay Williams for going out on a limb. I don't know if he believes it. I don't know if I believe it, but shout out for him for going on national TV and saying it.
And we have our first caller in the Beamin' or Dreamin' segment now, because we got to break these ties that's going on. I haven't said mine yet, but we have Beamin'. We got Kyle over here dreaming. What do you say, Ken? Let's get to Ken right here. Hey, Styles and Watkins, give it to us, Ken.
Hold on, hey, that lullaby guy, take his microphone away right now. He cannot even speak for the rest of the show.
Wow.
He ain't saying nothing.
Wow.
Ken, I'm your guy. Come on. Don't do that to me.
You know you are, man. But, hey, man, the eye test I saw last night, we still averaging 130, and we still, the bench is looking good. Hey, man, we look amazing. And I was watching First Take today, and I was listening to Jay. I'm like, he's talking that talk, because what you see on the floor, man, is a product of a good Western Conference team.
Yeah.
Hey, man, if you look at all the other teams, like you said, Denver, of course, because they got Jokic, the Joker, of course. But everybody else, hey, man, we slapping them up. The first person we're going to slap up is the Golden State Warriors, man.
Ooh.
Stand by and watch. So I am beaming.
Yes, sir.
Dreaming? Why would I be dreaming? Why? I'm wide awake. Talk to me, baby.
Wow. Oh, call of the show.
Come on.
Thank you, Ken.
Come on.
I think Ken convinced Kyle. He's beaming, too.
Come on.
How could you not be beaming?
I mean, crazy. I'm smiling.
There
this
you
is the
go.
Most fun I've had in a while.
Thank you, Ken. Beaming or dreaming. All right. Got to get to a break. When we get back, we will talk about what was real from game one and what was fake. Beaming or dreaming. Have them coming in. Keep them coming in. We'll keep it going on the show. And if you feel like calling, if you're just a little tardy, that's all good. 916-339-1140. Beaming or dreaming for
Stop
the rest
it.
Of the show.
Stop it, Kyle.
The 916 gives a shout out on the text line. Happy birthday. Happy birthday, Chris Watkins.
Yes, sir.
Let's keep it going. Shout what was real, what was fake from game one. Got to get to a break. Styles and Watkins, Sacktown Sports.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.